Hello and welcome to episode 10 of Passive Aggressive Film Reviews. My name is Richard Chittlebop.
And I'm Nathaniel Barrett-Moore.
I've been drinking, Nathaniel.
What is it with you and stimulants at the moment? You had stoned off your tits last week.
Don't judge me.
I'm not judging.
Don't sit in judgment over me, Nathaniel. You're not my mum.
I'm certainly not your mum. I'm just making an observation rather than judging you. What's brought you to this activity?
I have a reason. Okay. Yesterday, I attended the premiere of Tintin in Leicester Square.
Okay.
And basically, I just haven't stopped drinking since.
For what reason?
It was people just kept handing me drinks, and you know, I was in good company. I could see no reason to stop. And truthfully, the thought of having to spend an hour and a half in your company, albeit over Skype, was sufficient to ensure that I needed to keep topping up the levels.
You feel need to get pissed to enjoy my company? Is that what you're saying?
You can read into that whatever you want, Nathaniel. It's up to you.
All right. Well, you do whatever you feel you have to.
There's another reason besides the horror of spending time in your presence.
Yes.
It's a bit personal, this, Nathaniel, and I don't know if I should share it, but I feel I must.
Please do.
Hemorrhoids.
Ooh.
You heard of them?
I've heard of them, yes. I've experienced them from time to time, too.
Have you?
Yeah.
I've got them.
Oh, yeah.
Right now. I'm in agony.
Well, despite what you've just said about you needing to get pissed to spend time with me, you have my sympathies.
Thanks. I'm doing this standing up.
Well, you know, are you taking anything for it? You know, got any cream or ointment or anything?
Germaloid. And
I
beg your pardon?
Do you need some help pulling it on?
No, I'm okay. Helpfully, they provide a plastic applicator, which you insert into your rectum and then squeeze the cream.
Wouldn't be as gentle as my fingers, Richard.
Well, I've tried to do it with my own fingers.
Yes.
But I find it all a bit confusing. The sensations are quite confusing.
Right.
So I've gone back to the plastic.
Well, I wish you bottom well, and I hope it heals soon.
It was brought on, would you believe this, by jalapenos in the canapes at the Tintin premiere.
Just the jalapenos?
It's the only thing I can conceive that possibly caused this problem. The hot, spicy jalapeno peppers. They are peppers, aren't they?
They are indeed.
Yeah, the hot peppers just burnt their way through my system. So, and basically my anal nerve endings are now exposed. I'm in agony!
Well, yes, the spicy foods do aggravate that kind of condition, but maybe it's kind of coupled with the stress of mixing with those idiots and having to endure that awful film, maybe.
I've got to say, Nathaniel, I mean, the film aside, I've got no interest in talking about the film, because you're right, it was bloody rubbish. But the actual event was absolutely marvellous.
Oh, of course, because you like to mix with the celebrity culture, don't you?
I do. I do. I truly feel that's where I belong. Now, at first, security wouldn't let me through.
Not surprising.
Well, apparently, they've never heard of our show. Would you believe?
Well, you have to taste the delights.
Well, I mean, it's their loss.
Of course it is.
You know, but luckily, Terry Wogan was nearby.
Was he?
To confirm my identity. Now, I've never met the man before, but, you know, him being Welsh, as we've discussed.
Yes.
He seemed to have had a few.
Did he?
Oh, you know what they're like.
Well.
And he was absolutely certain that me and him had once shared a caravan in Barmouth.
Were you right?
Not as far as I can recall, Nathaniel, no.
Right.
So that was a bit peculiar, but he got me through the door.
Well, fair enough, fair play to Terry.
A nice chap and all. I could only really put up with him for a couple of minutes, because he does drone on.
Yeah.
He just talks about the Eurovision Song Contest. Have you ever met him?
I've never met him. Never had the pleasure, no.
Oh, I mean, once he gets started on the Eurovision, there's no stopping him.
That's interesting, because I thought he got rather sick of the whole experience.
I think it's one of those things, trading on former glories.
Ah, I see what you're saying, yeah.
You know, grass is always greener, isn't it? So he stepped aside, let that well-known gaylord, Graham Norton, into occupy his position.
Yeah.
And I think, I get the impression he misses it now.
Yeah, you don't know what you've got till it's gone and all that.
That's what I think. That's what episode 7, I was thinking about packing this whole thing in, but then I realised I'd miss it if it was gone, you know?
Oh, sure would. Then you'd miss me.
Now, I also met Steven Spielberg.
Really?
The director of Tintin, I'm sure you knew that.
I knew that, even I did.
Did you?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Right. Now, I asked him, because, you know, with these people, you're only going to get a couple of minutes tops.
Yeah.
So you've got to get him what you want, you know, you've got to get it in quick, whatever you want to ask.
Yeah.
And I've always thought I'd like to ask him this. I asked Mr. Spielberg why he chose not to include any light-hearted moments in Schindler's List.
Did he have an interesting response?
He just walked away, Nathaniel. He looked vaguely sick and me, all honesty.
Well, let me just... I can understand his reaction, Richard.
Really?
Yes.
It was that inappropriate, was it?
Yeah, I think it was. A little bit, just a tad.
Okay.
I don't think Schindler's List would have benefited from any family values.
Well, you know... Just a couple of chuckle moments would have been okay. I also met Ricky Gervais.
Oh, right.
Now, did you know, Nathaniel, that he's had his teeth fixed?
I didn't know he had a problem with his teeth, to be honest with you.
Oh, he's quite famous, really, for, you know, the fact that he's snaggle-toothed British. Because the American
Oh, the people, Hollywood teeth, yeah.
Yeah, the Hollywood teeth. But they specifically make a joke out of British teeth.
Right.
And British teeth, are, you know, in America, that's a bit of a, that's just like a cultural touchstone as a joke. Snaggle-toothed British people.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough, because, by Christ, we do have shit teeth, don't we?
I do.
But, so Ricky Gervais, he's had his teeth fixed.
Okay.
What a national traitor. He should have been proud of those teeth.
Well, it sounds like a bit of a sellout, I have to admit.
He's lost a bunch of weight, you know. He's gone the Jimmy Carr route, so he now looks all lithe and svelte and attractive with his perfect teeth. He's a disgrace.
Yeah, I'm not comfortable with that idea myself, which I have to say. I mean,
really,
one of the things you can praise about Ricky Gervais is that, you know, he's an individual. There's no one else like him.
Not anymore, he's not. They've got him conforming to their rules.
He's trying to fit into the American vibe, and I don't like that.
Why does he need to do that?
Exactly, why does he?
Why does he need to? Look how successful he is. Look how wealthy he is. Why on earth does he have to follow the rules of somebody else?
Well, I guess he's got the taste of power now, Richard. Power, wealth and fame, it's an intoxicating mix.
But he got to where he is by being himself.
He did indeed, that's the irony of it, isn't it?
Not by sculpting his body in the fashion of somebody from California.
Well, let's hope he starts indulging in the American culture too much and eating lots of crap and putting weight back on and getting his teeth rotting and stuff.
Hopefully he finds himself in the seedy and corrupt world of Los Angeles pornography. And he'll be shat out of the back end of it, like the worthless scum that he is.
I wouldn't go quite that extreme, Richard.
Right, okay.
It's quite a typical view for you, I guess.
Nathaniel, after the show last week,
yes,
I headed to my local police station. This could unnerve you, and rightly so.
Right.
I headed to my local police station to give a blood sample.
Okay.
I told them what you'd done regarding the space case and poisoning me.
You didn't give them my address or phone number, did you?
I gave them all your details.
Oh, what are you doing, Shittle Bob?
Now, as it turns out, they arrested me on suspicion of possession of Class B substances.
Oh, dear.
They weren't interested in you.
Of course, I'm such a nice fellow, that's why.
They searched my house, Nathaniel, but the best they could come up with was a packet of dried basil. And then they left. I blame you.
Well, I'm sorry you've had to go through that ordeal on my part. I'll take full responsibility. Don't want to see you get into too much trouble.
Mm.
I don't mind seeing you cop a bit of flack, don't get me wrong.
That's what you did, isn't it?
No, of course it isn't.
You knew that I'd go to the police, and you knew that they would only be interested in my crime.
Not
the crime inflicted on me by you.
That's preposterous. I was just trying to open your mind.
Yvonne's insanity continues apace.
Mm.
And, do you remember last week? Remember the message that I received? You're going to die.
Yeah.
But you kind of mocked it, didn't you, at the time?
Well, I didn't take it too seriously, that's correct.
Well, this week, I've received through the post a picture of myself, A4 size picture of my face.
Yes.
And on which are scrawled the words, dead man walking.
And you think it's from Yvonne again, do you?
Well, it would seem remarkable if this had happened twice. Unless it was you.
But it wouldn't seem that remarkable if the people that want you dead, Richard. Not that remarkable at all.
But the people that most want me dead tend not to know my address.
Well, people have contacts. But after listening to your talk, it probably is, Yvonne.
Yeah.
I'll be expanding on that a little bit more.
I've only got one more thing that I want to bring
to the
listeners' attention before we move on to onto the humdrum events of your week. Now we've received several emails this week, which is positive.
Yes.
And foremost amongst them was one from a Miss Karen Hyman, and she writes, "Dear Nathaniel and Dick."
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to start there, Hyman.
I haven't been called
Dick since finishing school.
Yeah.
So, you can imagine that.
I'll keep that up.
Yeah, I've read the rest of it in some kind of rage, in all honesty. Anyway, she continues, "I look forward to your podcast every week and find your bickering style most amusing. A few points to note, however. 1. The format is starting to become a little stale. Perhaps you could spice it up with some word puzzles or logical conundrums for the listener to engage in for when your droning on and on gets too tiresome. 2. Maybe you could include some audio footage to enliven your reviews, which, though occasionally engaging, do tend to drift into blandness more often than is ideal. And 3, and this is the kicker, Nathaniel,
yeah.
3, maybe Nathaniel could do more of the talking, as his Ooh. Black country accent is both warm and reassuring when compared with Richard's clipped, precise diction. Oi! Hyman! Piss off! Don't come on here telling us how to do our show. If you don't like it, go and listen to... Maybe go and listen to the Ricky Gervais' podcast, you dried of old hag. How fucking dare you!
But I'm going to try and balance this one out, Miss Hyman, or Miss Hyman. I wish to thank you for your viewpoints. I thought they were all valid.
Right.
And we shall take your advice on board.
Yeah.
Mr. Shittlebob is obviously not in quite such a good frame of mind at the moment.
I'm in pain, Nathaniel. The last thing I need is that bitch telling us how to do our job.
You're not going to do your hemorrhoids any better by getting in this kind of state.
Okay, all right.
But I don't think we'll be doing word searches online.
What a preposterous suggestion. Some word puzzles or logical conundrums. I mean, have you ever heard anything so preposterous?
I think she should take a break, Rita Richard.
Oh, I think she's taking the piss.
I think she tried you.
That got under my skin. Anyway, anyone who does want to get in touch, and I'm sure there'll be plenty after that, please don't hesitate. PassiveAggressiveFilmReviews@gmail.com. Over to you, Nathaniel. I've said enough, I feel.
Thank you. Take some deep breaths. Chill out now.
Okay.
Continuing after last week, Richard.
I'm just going to pop to the loo, Nathaniel. You carry on for a little while.
Oh, right. You want me to just carry on my own?
Yeah, you talk. I'm just going to go to the loo.
All right.
I hope you don't mind.
What a fantastic and professional way to go about things. Okay. I've been following Jesus' advice. I've been keeping to his recommendations. And I've been going to church. Well, when I say going to church, I've been once. I found it a miserable and a dour experience. Didn't really instill much devotion in me, I have to say. Being surrounded by a throng of old women, smelling of urine and singing Kumbaya. I've had better times. But it has served to raise my intrigue sufficiently to go and investigate further. When I say further, I mean different faiths. Perhaps my visions of the Black Jesus of the past 2 weeks weren't completely authentic, Richard. So over the next couple of weeks, I plan to go to as many of the differing places of worship I can tolerate.
You're still going?
Yes, I'm still going, yeah.
Good, go on, carry on.
The listeners are listening, if you're not.
All right, fair enough.
I did pay a visit to my local mosque, and I'd like to offer my sincere thank you to the imam there, Mr. Mohammed Mohammed. Mm. I've made to feel very welcome. Very friendly people there. And they were far more ready to talk about their faith and their beliefs rather than the old dodgers at the church, who only wanted to indulge in conversation about the number 24 bus service, how it had broken down last week. It's interesting, Richard, that they hold Jesus in such high esteem.
Who are you talking about? The Muslims?
The Muslims, yeah.
Of course they do. It's one of their prophets.
Well, it came as something of a surprise for me. That's right. They do see him as a prophet rather than the omnipotent God that you lot see him as. But they're still, obviously, they're still deeming worthy of praise. So just
he's one of their prophets. Of course they do.
But it begs the question, why do kind of Muslims and Christians not get on better than what they do?
Because they're wrong and we're right.
Simple as that. Okay. Let's not get into that debate so early.
Well, you did ask.
I didn't ask. You just decided to mention. The service...
Listen back, Nathaniel. You asked.
Can I carry on with my point?
Continue.
Thank you. The service was rather an odd affair. Imagine, if you will, there's a rather important football match going on. All the home supporters are up for it, and in partisan mood. They're chanting and they're gesticulating and rather loud.
Hmm.
Much the same as what was going on in Moss, to be honest with you. Obviously it was all in a foreign tongue, and I couldn't really make anything out other than the regular repetition of Allah, Allah.
It's just jibber-jabber, isn't it? Well, jibber-jabber, mumbo-jumbo, a walla-walla.
When people are talking in Urdu and Gujarati, it's kind of like jibber-jabber, isn't it, you intolerant fool? But no wonder the majority of Muslims are so slim, Richard. They're forever bending down, kissing the floor, getting back up again.
It's good for the stomach muscles.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Faith that keeps you fit, I'm all for that.
That's the only reason that I do that, is in 1906, a famous imam, who I've forgotten the name of, he figured out, really, way ahead of Western medicine... He figured out that by bending and pivoting at the waist, you use your stomach muscles, and therefore you can develop a six-pack. It's one of the pillars of Islam, is to develop a six-pack.
Oh, thanks, Ali. I didn't know that. That's good to know. So the Muslims are they're fitness freaks as well?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. On to a different matter. You know, I've clearly bored you senseless with that information.
You didn't bore me, Nathaniel. Don't beat yourself up.
You're
hanging on your every word.
You wouldn't get. I received a surprise visitor last night, Richard.
Go on.
had quite a shock when I opened the door.
It wasn't Yvonne.
It was.
Oh, how did I know that? How did I guess that?
I don't know, maybe you're in tune with the devil or something, I don't know.
Oh, well, it wouldn't be the devil, but you know, something strange happened there, Nathaniel, I'll be honest with you.
You saw that one coming, that is quite odd, I have to say.
Well, you said it, and it was so strong in my head that it must be a bond. I couldn't, you know, it was like a compulsion to say it out loud.
Right.
It was bizarre.
Well, anyway, I shall continue.
What did the old strumpet have to say for herself?
Well, before she walked in...
Not there, is she, listening?
No, of course she's not here now.
You sure?
I'm quite sure you're someone in the room with me, Richard. It had obviously been raining very heavily. She was absolutely soaked, the poor dear. You know, all her black hair was wet and dripping, clinging to her face.
Well, she's blonde, Nathaniel. So are you sure it was Yvonne? She's blonde.
No, perhaps she's dyed her hair and tried to protect herself from you.
You sure it was her?
I'm quite sure it was her.
Okay.
I had to invite her in, Richard, obviously, you know, she went upstairs to dry off. Obviously, I stayed.
What off?
She had to dry off.
Right.
From the rain. She was rather wet.
Yes.
On her head.
Keep going.
I stayed downstairs, of course, while that was happening. But then she came down, obviously, and we sat on the couch and we began to talk. She was clearly very concerned about what I had said last week about how her character appears to have changed.
Ah, also she's listening, you see.
Well, she's listening to some people.
Right.
To some people.
Right.
You know, she was very keen to address that situation. She was gentle and she was charming and very warm.
Right.
Like the Yvonne I'm used to hearing about. She looked very vulnerable, Richard, I have to say.
Nathaniel, where are you going with this? Can you get to the end point?
That's it, that's my last point.
Did you, or did you not, have sexual intercourse with my ex-wife?
Absolutely not.
Did you, or did you not, perform cunnilingus on my ex-wife?
Absolutely not.
Did you, or did you not, have a little grapple of my ex-wife's breasts?
I don't know if you indulge in some kind of weird fantasy here, Richard, but we didn't engage in any sexual contact.
Did you, or did you not, remove your clothing at the same time as she removed her clothing, so you were both naked?
No, we just sat on the couch and talked.
Okay, good. Carry on.
That's it, that's all I got to say.
Did you believe her? What was your take on her... I don't know, her demeanour, her mood, what's she like?
It's good to get to see the full picture, isn't it? You know, when you're only hearing one side of the story, you're not hearing the full spectrum of what's actually going on.
I understand that, but she's a lying bitch.
Well, you're going to say that, aren't you, because you're a judge...
She's sending me threatening things through the mail. She's not to be trusted.
You're assuming that, Richard, you're assuming that.
Did she mention it?
She didn't mention it, no. No, she
did
didn't.
You ask her?
No, I didn't. She was just charming company. I didn't want to spoil the mood.
That would have been, for me, that would have been question... If the positions were reversed and your ex-partner, male or female, had arrived at my door, sopping wet, I would have allowed him or her to dry off his or her head, and then when I sat down on the couch with him or her... Question number one to him or her would have been, so what the hell is it with these threatening messages?
Well, Richard, you've got to understand that we don't all adopt the accusing tone that you do. Some of us just allow people to be, and she was in a rather emotional state, not helped by the being pissed down on all that all night. And she just wanted to get somewhere warm and talk to someone warm. And that's exactly what she did. I wasn't about to accuse her of putting threatening posters through your letterbox.
Why did she pick you?
I don't know.
Of all the people in the world, Nathaniel, why you?
Ask yourself the same question, Richard.
What do you mean?
No, work it out for yourself.
No, tell me what you mean.
Are you asking my opinion?
Well, yes I am.
Okay.
Why has she picked you?
I think she came round to see a friendly face. I think she came round to give us the full picture of what she's truly like. Rather than Mr. Shizzlebob version of things.
Well, she's sucked you in good and proper, hasn't she, by the sounds of it?
Well, not yet.
You've fallen for this, haven't you? Did she bat her eyes at you? Was she weeping?
She wasn't weeping, but she was rather emotional, yes.
Don't believe a word she says.
Right.
She's trying to trick you, Nathaniel.
Perhaps you're right.
I am right. She's not to be trusted.
Let's see if she comes round again.
Anything else happened? Have you been taking any drugs this week?
No, I've taken no drugs whatsoever.
There's a turn up.
Well, he has to have a week off from time to time.
I guess so, yeah.
Shall we move on?
Are we done?
I think we're done.
Let's move on.
Okay, loyal listeners, time to keep you informed with some brand spanking movie news and Hollywood developments. And Ben Stiller, erstwhile star of Zoolander and Meet the Parents, is looking likely to helm the most unlikely movie, horror flick The Mountain. There are details at this time are sketchy. As long as it doesn't feature Robert De Niro sporting an erection, we'll stay vaguely interested. George A. Romero swore blind he was done with zombies after the pretty disappointing Survival of the Dead, but word on my apparently bushy vine suggests that he's all lined up for a movie adapted from the book The Zombie Autopsies, Secret Notebooks from the Apocalypse by Stephen C. Schlossman. Make this a good one, George, for old time's sake.
Lynn Ramsey, director of recent released We Need to Talk About Kevin, is receiving nothing but plaudits for her current work. And in a recent interview, she revealed her next project to be an adaptation of Moby Dick, set in outer space. Gotta say, Lynn, this sounds about as cool as movies get. We can't wait. There's a Muppets movie on the way, penciled in for an early 2012 release here in the UK. And some of the old guard who voiced the original characters are up in arms about the style of humour. The discontent comes from the fact that Fozzie Bear breaks wind in the trailer, which apparently is out of keeping with the character of the old buzzard. People, it's the Muppets. Nobody really gives a shit, one way or the other. Okay, folks, it's the part of the show where we talk about a movie that's on current release. And this week, what else could we talk about apart from Paranormal Activity 3? Here's the plot. It's 2005, and Katie, from part one, delivers a box of old VHS tapes to her sister Christy from part two. You following? On the tapes, we as viewers witness the events in 1988 that introduced the demonic menace to the lives of the then two young girls. Things go bump in the night, doors open and close by themselves, and occasionally pieces of furniture are flung about the house. That's it for 86 minutes. Seen it, Nathaniel?
I've seen it.
Thoughts?
Well, I like to think that I would have enjoyed it.
Mm.
But I simply have to mention this.
Go on.
The great unwashed were out in mass again, Richard.
Ooh.
Polluting this auditorium, ruining the whole cinematic experience with their noise and their laughter and God knows else what they were doing.
So you saw this in the cinema, did you?
I did.
Because you normally, if I'm right about you, Nathaniel, you normally steal things, don't you?
Wrong.
You do. You're a thief.
I'm not a thief, Richard.
You normally steal movies from the internet. You wouldn't download a car, would you?
You wouldn't download a car, Richard. You're quite right. But I did go to the
cinema. You download a movie.
I saw this in the cinema, Richard.
Go on. We'll believe you this time.
Thank you very much. There's a mixed
bag. What were they doing? Sorry, Nathaniel. I interrupted. What were they doing, these hoodlums?
Well, I've just said that they were being noisy, that they were giggling and chuckling and disturbing the whole experience. I couldn't enjoy it in the silence that the whole cinematic experience is meant to be enjoyed in.
Do you not think that, you know, you go and watch a horror movie, do you not think that people, they do a bit of talking and a bit of laughing, basically because they're trying to mask their fear?
Yes.
So what's your problem?
If you're going to do that, watch it at home. You've got to think about other people.
Okay.
You know, you can't expect paying people paying money to see a film to not complain about that sort of thing.
I've got to say, in this instance, Nathaniel, I think our roles are reversed, because I would be far more tolerant of the bad. When I saw it, people were laughing, they were talking, they were screaming. It's a horror movie.
I can understand the screaming at the frightening point, of course. That's just natural and obvious. But when they're making noise in the points between the scary points, then that's out of order.
The points between the scary points.
The points between the scary points, indeed, yes.
Okay. And what do you want them to do?
Keep pretty well quiet.
Just sit there and watch the film.
Sit down.
Is that what you're saying?
Sit down and watch the film.
Okay, right. Just so we're clear.
Is that such an extravagant thing to ask for? Just sit there and watch the film.
Carry on. Go on.
It was a mixed bag, Richard. It had its disappointments and its high points. I was disappointed that the current director didn't maintain the levels of character development that the previous two did.
Right.
He didn't care as much about what happened to the family. Because their characters weren't developed enough. He didn't warm to them. And the first two films really managed to achieve that. So I thought that was not a good move.
Now, is that a case of familiarity breeding contempt?
No, quite the opposite.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's because aren't you kind of getting used to the format now, so it's taking a bit more to impress you?
No, not really, because that was one of the most impressive things about the first two, was the time they put into such a sparse movie to give a real persona to the characters.
Well, fair enough. Good answer, Nathaniel, fair enough.
Yeah. They injected humour into number three, Richard.
Uh-huh.
Didn't agree with that either.
What humour?
The scenes I'm referring to?
Yeah.
The mother, when she's wearing the mask in the wardrobe, she jumps out. Ooh. And then the babysitter sneaking up on the camera.
Oh, yes, yeah.
All this.
Oh, so these were, they were kind of jumpy moments, but with a bit of a humorous slant to them.
Exactly that. You were meant to come.
I'm with you.
Made to jump and then made to smile.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Which is fair enough, but it doesn't belong in that film, because that film's about to build up a tension and atmosphere, and that just punctured it.
There was none of that in the first two, was there?
There wasn't, you're right, no, there wasn't. And that's
that's a good point, that is.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You're really very astute so far, Nathaniel, I've got to tell you.
I couldn't tell you who directed it, though.
We're used to that.
Yeah.
By now.
Yeah.
You know, we don't expect that of you.
Yeah.
So carry on.
Yeah. I was pleased with the depiction of the ghostly demon. That's something that the first two films didn't. It was all the power of suggestion, all left to the imagination, which worked well, don't get me wrong. But I was glad to see that aspect explored in number three. You actually got to see the image of the demon, and it gave the terror just a bit of an extra edge.
Do you think it would have tested people's patience to have got to the end of part three and actually not know what's causing the mayhem?
Quite possibly, quite possibly. Yeah. It would have been a lot to ask.
Yeah.
I guess that's a fair point, yeah. Wasn't asking for much, but they did provide it, so fair enough on that score.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed the ending, Richard. Really enjoyed it. I mean, despite the utterances of the idiots in the cinema, saying, "Oh, what a rubbish ending." clearly can't think.
No.
It was still left open, obviously, wasn't it, to prefer the films.
Well, I mean, guaranteed there'll be a part four next Halloween.
Too much money to be made out of this this series, obviously.
Get this, Nathaniel. It's opening weekend in America. That's Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It made back its money.
Wow. There you go.
In 4 days, in one country.
Yeah.
It raped the same amount of money as it cost to make. So anything after that is profit.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That is incredible, you're quite right. Quite right. So they're raking it in, and they're obviously, like you say, with this, the ending that they made in the number three, they're obviously going to expand on that more. But I thought it was a really good twist, the implication of the grandmother, Lois.
Oh, Nathaniel, careful.
It's not girl, come on.
Careful.
I'm just feeding them scraps, Richard, feeding them scraps.
Okay. Oh, be careful, though, mate, because, you know, we get... I don't want to have to fend off all the emails based on your inappropriate comments.
You're talking to the mirror again.
Carry on.
And now I'm done.
All yours. You're done.
All yours.
Okay, well, Nathaniel, I thought this was scary stuff. These, without question, these movies are the most frightening films coming out of Hollywood today. Can you think of anything scarier that, you know, mainstream Hollywood's producing?
Surprisingly enough, no, I can't.
You can't? I was kind of expecting a comedy answer there. You know, like, oh, what about the Adam Sandler movies or something like that?
No, I just got the honest answer.
You got the honest, good. Okay. The youngest of the girls, she was amazing. The really young one.
They're about the same age, roughly, weren't they? I couldn't say which was the youngest.
The younger one was the one that was shorter.
You forgot.
And the one that looked younger.
You've forgotten the name.
No, it's Christy.
Not Katie.
Christy is the young one.
Okay.
Kate is the older one.
Fair enough.
You tried to get me there, didn't you? You tried to catch me out.
Well dodged.
Yes. Try harder.
Okay.
I'll say that again, just for people that missed it. Just to reinforce how ludicrous your question was, the younger one was the shorter girl who looked younger. Are we clear? Nathaniel?
Yeah.
Good. Chloe Sengary, her name is. Sounds a bit foreign to me. Yeah, but that aside, she was very good. Now, the audience that I saw it with, they were a bit boisterous, not yours, but they were scared to death.
Well, yeah, it's a pretty scary film.
They were literally, Nathaniel, they were screaming out loud. The big pufters.
You've just said it was one of the most frightening films that you've seen recently.
Yes.
I bet you were squealing like a girl as well.
I was silent.
Were you really?
I endured.
That'd be a bloody first.
I took it like a man.
Did you?
Now, the man in the piece, whose name I have forgotten before you say it, frankly, Nathaniel, he deserved to die. If indeed he did die, I'm not going to say if he did, but he deserved to die, regardless.
Because of?
Well, you don't mess with the spiritual, do you? You don't mess around with the world of the spiritual. Even me, as a scientist, I know that.
You're a scientist now, are you?
I am a scientist, Nathaniel. I got two C's at O-level.
Oh, right, okay.
That's a scientist. I have a qualification based in science. That makes me a scientist.
Fair enough.
If I were in this situation, Nathaniel, I would be in no jeopardy at all, as I would simply pray my way to salvation. And the demonic force would be compelled to yield.
Admirable faith there, Richard. Not sure how justified it is.
It's happened to me once before.
Is this where I'm meant to be interested and ask you what it is?
It's up to you.
Carry on.
Do you want me to tell you?
Not really.
Okay. I won't. The babysitter, Nathaniel.
Yes.
Oh, she was beautiful. She was beautiful. Nathaniel, even though I'm 35 years her senior, I could eat her up with a spoon.
I missed that from last week, I have to say.
I'd do dreadful things to her, Nathaniel, if you let me.
Would you?
Dreadful things.
You want to go a bit further on that?
It was the costume she was wearing. Oh, good Lord above. I crossed myself. In the theatre, I crossed myself.
Did you?
She was absolutely beautiful. I felt a stirring, Nathaniel, that I haven't felt in a couple of weeks.
Right.
It's hard to concentrate when she was on screen.
Really?
That little... That little skirt she had on. And those white trainers, those pumps.
pumps. You were wearing pumps. Pumps.
Yes, pumps, Richard. We've got that. Do you want the shovel?
The woman who plays Christy in part two and at the beginning of this. Do you know what her name is?
No.
I'm not making this up. Sprague Graydon.
Is there a point?
What kind of stupid name is that, Barrett Moore?
Well, she probably thinks Richard's a stupid name.
Sprague?
I don't know, maybe she's...
got the city with an S at the front.
Maybe she's from Iceland or Finland or something. He's probably
Sprague.
Like John or Sarah up there, who knows?
I've never seen Sprague. She made that up.
I quite like it. I quite like his originality.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm going to call my... If I have a daughter, I'm going to call her Sprague.
Well, if I have a daughter, I'm going to call her Sparris. How about that?
Cool, yeah, sounds all right.
Sparris.
Yeah.
Paris, and I'm just going to put an S on the front.
Sparris Shuttlebob, yeah?
Sparris Shuttlebob.
I'm into it.
Nonsense. Now, whenever I got frightened, I just thought of you, Nathaniel, and that seemed to soothe me somehow. What do you think about that?
I'm not sure yet.
There's nothing else to it. I'm just telling you a fact.
You thought of me and you found it soothing.
I thought of your face. Whenever I started to get scared,
yeah.
I thought of your face. And that made me feel better.
I guess I'm okay with that.
Good.
So
did you think of me, Nathaniel, when you were watching the movie?
Sorry?
Did you think of me at all when you were watching the film?
Well, sort of. I kind of developed your rage, I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Because of the noisy people.
Yeah, I was looking down the auditorium, Patrick Bateman style.
Yes.
But yeah, so I suppose I did it in some small way, yes.
7 out of 10 for me, this one. 7 out of 10.
Match that, 7 out of 10. Right, people, time for your weekly instalment of classic movie discussion. Should provide some interesting fodder for you this week, as we're going to attempt, emphasis on the attempt, to pick apart the surreal and twisted nature of the David Lynch cult classic from 1977, Eraserhead. The plot itself is something I'm sure Richard and I will be bashing around. Suffice to say that the lead character, Henry Spencer, is a banal man living an even more banal existence. His life is depicted as gloomy, dark and miserable, with very, very little pleasure in his life. He endures a girlfriend that leaves him when things become unbearable, an environment that only contains industrial machinery and the accompanying noises, a mutant baby, and a fling with an attractive neighbour that all goes awry. Add to the equation the disturbing visions he has in his dreams, and what you have on your hands is a surreal and utterly dark piece of work that will have anyone who sees it coming up with their own suggestions about it, what it's all about. Do you want to have a first go, Richard?
Oh, to be honest, I'm not sure. I have watched it.
Yeah.
It's tough, isn't it?
It's a tough view. It's an awkward view, absolutely.
Did you understand this, Nathaniel?
I understood bits, I think, Richard.
Go on.
Do you want me to start?
Yeah, if you would, because I'm going to be honest with you. I was flailing in the dark.
Right, okay.
I did not get this.
Might be a blatant case of stating the bleeding obvious, but David Lynch wasn't a happy bunny when he penned this film, was he?
Oh, you wouldn't have thought so, would you?
No, absolutely not.
He was in a dark place.
I think he was in a real big place.
Good Lord.
I feel certain that he was depicting himself as Henry Richard.
I would agree with that. They seem very personal.
Because although it was incredibly dark and surreal, the emotions and the life situations that he found himself in trying to cope with them, were very real.
They were everyday situations, weren't they?
Pretty much. Absolutely.
That we've all experienced.
Yes. Well, to some degree.
Save the mutant baby, get rid of that out of the equation.
Yeah.
But, you know, the visiting the in-laws, that awkwardness, the shyness when confronting strangers.
Yeah.
We've all felt that.
We've all felt that. And kind of even the baby, I thought, had a sense of realism to it.
Mm.
I suppose I can talk about that aspect first. I mean, that for me was... be interesting to see what actually happened in David Lynch's life, because that for me said to me that he'd had a baby sometime in his life, and it was such an alien experience for him that it may as well actually have been an alien.
So you think he actually is a father?
Yes. And food.
But he's so disconnected from his own child.
At that time.
That he may as well be kind of like a mutant alien.
At that time, yes.
Wow. I don't know if that's true.
I don't know.
That's fascinating if it is.
That's why it's all conjecture and just banging around opinions.
Yeah.
Interesting discussion it should be. Yeah, it's very abstract, obviously very macabre. Do you remember the opening scene, Richard?
Remind me.
Where you've got the signal man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like at the side of a train station.
Oh, yes.
He had quite a dark and foreboding persona, I thought, which I've described as what Lynch saw to be God at that time.
Mm.
A callous and unforgiving God that deemed it fit for Henry to be subjected to the horrors he was going through.
Wow.
So that's my take on that.
That's remarkable, Nathaniel.
Then we got the family meal.
That was painfully observed, wasn't it?
Wasn't it? I mean, it's just absolutely fantastic in its, how awkward it was. You felt really uncomfortable watching it.
Reminded me, a little bit, of Larry David's work.
Right.
I mean, clearly this was more of a horror spin on it.
Yeah.
But just that kind of, the observation of sheer awkwardness in social situations.
Well, that's to say, I normally kind of laugh out loud at Larry David's work. I certainly didn't feel the desire to laugh out loud to this.
No, as I say, it was from a different spin, a different point of view.
Yeah.
But similar kind of themes.
Right, yeah. The
you don't agree, do you, Nathaniel? You're trying to be polite.
I do see what you're saying. You're playing on awkward moments.
Yes.
Yes, I do get that, yeah. So you do have a point.
Thank you.
Yeah, the mother was intensely bored, you know, and she's so desperate for some sort of excitement that she tried to make sexual advances on Henry.
I think that she wanted to suck his penis.
I think, yes, I think you're right.
Right.
You're right.
Right. I picked up on that.
Right. Then you got the father, the hapless father.
He was brain dead.
He was. He's obviously a man who was so stuck in a rut.
Mm.
He's no longer capable of feeling anything.
Or thinking anything.
Or thinking anything, indeed.
He just sat there. You know, he's the kind of person that would just come home from work, sit in the chair, put the TV on a channel, any channel, and would just sit there and watch it.
Absolutely, yeah. Fair point, yeah.
You know, no thought as to... he wouldn't seek out something that he specifically wanted to watch. It would just be any kind of flickering, moving images with some audio attached would be sufficient. He's the kind of person that would go into a pub, and when you're trying to talk to them, you'd find that they were gazing at the fruit machine, the flashing lights on the fruit machine.
Yeah, just enough stimulus to keep the brain active.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
He made me cross that character, but I think he was meant to.
Absolutely, he was meant to get you going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did just that. What do you think about the actual meal itself? With the chicken that oozed all that dark fluid when?
Oh, that was horrid.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it?
That I knew something was going to happen. The way that the father invited Henry to, you know, do the carving.
Yeah.
It was clear that something was going to happen, but I didn't predict that it would be that, and it was really, really disturbing. I haven't eaten chicken since.
Yeah.
And I might not for a while.
I thought he was trying to humiliate him.
Did you?
Yeah, because you got like the obviously ridiculously small chicken.
Yeah, oh yes, it was like a quail.
Well, perhaps it was a quail, you know.
But it was a chicken, they were referring to it as a chicken, but it looked like a quail.
Right, yeah. But
do you know what a quail is, Nathaniel?
It's an animal, it's a bird. It's quite a posh form of chicken.
It's a posh form of chicken?
Posh form, it lays eggs.
So that makes it posh?
Much like a duck.
Laying eggs?
No, I didn't say laying eggs.
Do you consider an iguana to be a posh gecko?
If you were going to the Savoy restaurant, you may expect to see quail on the menu.
Oh, I see.
I made myself understood.
I became angry for no purpose there. Continue.
But the comments I wanted to make about the tiny chicken. when he was using that dark fluid. I think that was, again, Lynch's way of expressing about food, about the synthetic nature of it, and none of it was natural or processed.
I thought it was to do with menstruation, Nathaniel.
Ah, interesting, okay.
That was my take on that.
Right, okay.
It was, I mean, Lynch clearly hates women. Clearly. They shriek and they shrill and they squirt out mutants from their loins.
Right.
And then that was symbolically suggesting menstruation. Again, his loathing of the fairer sex.
Well, I don't think he can say that he hated women per se, but he probably wasn't fond of his current girlfriend at the time.
Look at the mother.
At four.
Look at the mother character.
Yeah.
Who wanted to suck on Henry's penis, as we've already established.
Right.
She was a harridan. She was a disgrace to look at. Lynch's hatred.
You wouldn't really want your girlfriend's mother sucking you off there, would you, really?
Not
with a girlfriend in the same house, anyway.
No, I did, when I was maybe 18 or 19, I did have a girlfriend whose mother was particularly attractive. And I did occasionally fantasise about kind of, like a double team situation.
Right.
If you understand my meaning.
I do understand your meaning, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Back to the film.
Have you ever met David Lynch, Nathaniel?
I haven't, no.
I have. He's an arsehole.
Is he?
Yes. Very unpleasant individual.
Oh, right, okay.
I felt, and it ties in, really. I felt that this was the dark, demented delusions of a dangerous mind. He should be locked up.
Well, we wouldn't be have the privilege of watching his films then, though, would we?
Listen, as far as I could tell, Nathaniel, for this movie, this is my plot summation. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Someone gave birth to E.T. and opted to get a Flock of Seagulls style haircut while his girlfriend went out for a night on the piss.
I don't think Mr. Lynch would have put that much effort into portraying that kind of storyline.
Now, playing it all out in black and white, I think was meant to add a level of gravitas, of importance.
No doubt at all.
All it gave me, Nathaniel, was eye strain.
But it wasn't a comfortable watch. That was one of the things that he wanted to do, to provide. And he did that. Deserves credit for that. Just because you didn't enjoy watching it doesn't mean it was a bad experience.
I beg your pardon?
Just because you didn't enjoy watching it doesn't mean it was a bad experience.
That makes no sense.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. I didn't enjoy it. Therefore, for me personally, it was a bad experience.
You don't enjoy horror films, you get frightened at them.
I love horror films.
But it's a frightening experience, it's not enjoyable.
I don't get frightened by horror films, I'm not a child.
So you just said that you were jumping in the cinema while watching it.
Listen back, Nathaniel, listen back. You clearly don't understand a word that I tell you. You make things up after the event. Try and make me look bad.
Whatever you say, Richard, you're always right.
David Lynch wants to have sex with his own mother.
Yeah.
That's clear.
Yeah.
You can see that.
You can see that.
Nathaniel, was there any real music in the background?
I think there was. It wasn't called music. It was not even ambience. What would you call it? They were atmospherics, weren't they?
It was all industrial noise.
Yeah, it was.
Why?
To make the whole experience as uncomfortable as possible.
So it was to alienate the audience?
Alienate, is that the right choice of word? Probably not.
I don't know.
He wanted to give the audience a different experience, that's for sure.
Nathaniel, name me three David Lynch movies.
Dune.
Good.
Inland Empire.
Oh, well done.
Thank you very much. And, come on.
Come on.
Eraserhead.
No, you can't have that one. Another one.
David Lynch, come on. Wild at Heart.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Well done, Nathan. You're improving. Well done, mate.
You weren't
I've called you mate twice today.
Yeah, I'm not sure, mate.
I don't know why I'm doing that.
Neither do I. Can you stop it?
It's the drink. It's the drink. I'm becoming overly familiar. I'm a
professional broadcast while you're pissed. I'm pissed for the unprofessional one.
This, Nathaniel, it was a warning about the perils of anal sex. That's clear to all, surely.
Clear as mud.
Henry wouldn't answer the direct question about whether he'd had sex with Mary. You remember that bit?
I do remember that bit.
It's because he was ashamed.
Was it?
And look at the result. Nathaniel, look at the result. Anal sex, mutant child.
There we go. Clear as a bell.
What would you give this, Nathaniel?
Hard film to mark, Richard. Because it was such a unique experience, although I didn't understand everything that was going on, never going to see a film quite like this again. 8 out of 10.
8?
8.
8 out of 10. That's way ahead of mine, Nathaniel. This was appalling. It was the work of a diseased mind. It should be banned. Nothing like it should ever be made again. It's 2 out of 10.
Right, folks, on the agenda this week for our topical news slot is a situation that affects us all, the amount of people existing on the planet. The United Nations are set to announce that there are now 7 billion people on the planet. The estimate for 1999, a mere 12 years ago, was less than 6 billion, which means the global population has increased by 1 billion in that time. Current projections show a continued increase, and the global population is expected to reach between 7.5 and 10.5 billion by the year 2050. Should we be concerned, Richard?
We most certainly should be concerned. We are building to an impending catastrophe.
Right, okay, yes. I can go along with that so far.
We cannot support the number of people we have now. If the population continues to increase in this manner, you know, within 20, 30 years, it will become utterly unsustainable.
That does contradict your Christian beliefs, though, Richard, somewhat, doesn't it?
Well, not really.
No?
No.
Why so?
Well, I mean, clearly, we need to propagate the species, but we need to do it wisely.
Doesn't say that in the Bible.
It says that only people from Europe should procreate.
Is there a disclaimer at the bottom or something?
I beg your pardon?
Is there a disclaimer at the bottom that says that?
There's an asterisk.
Is there? Oh, I haven't got that copy of the Bible, obviously.
Read harder.
I will too.
Clearly, 7 billion, 6 billion of them, Nathaniel, should be exterminated.
Right.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, fantastic, yeah.
Go on, tell me why.
Well, it just sorts all the problems out, doesn't it? Just mass genocide, get rid of a few billion people.
It means Nathaniel, you are actually talking sense.
Well, you do talk a lot of sense, Richard. You do, you talk a lot of sense, and a lot of your viewpoints are well thought out. They're incredibly compassionate and sensitive.
Yes.
And sometimes you just have to go along with things. And when you
don't feed them, Nathaniel. That's my message today. Don't feed them.
Don't feed who? People.
Them.
Who's them?
You know, the ones.
Who's the ones?
Them. Look at where the population density is. Don't feed them.
I don't know where the population density is, which you'd have to explain.
The world food shortage could be quickly solved by simply feeding people to other people.
Yeah, great idea, that. That's, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Like pigs eating out of the trough.
Africa, India, China. There's your population density, Nathaniel, as if you didn't know.
At least you said it. At least you're man enough to admit it.
Africa, India, China. Feed them to each other.
Well, that's a quick fire and definite solution to the problem. I'll give you that.
Instead of donating money to feed them, Nathaniel, donate money to have them neutered. Like the animals that they are.
Absolutely, yeah. You should go for a governmental post, Richard, you really should.
Are you actually going to give an opinion here, Nathaniel, or are you just going to sarcastically comment on mine?
No, I'm just enjoying your spouting. I'm
going to listen to this.
Aren't I?
Listen to this.
Yes.
0.00001% of the population listen to this podcast.
True.
We must be doing something right.
And that person happens to be black.
That's fine by me.
Is it?
Oh, fine by me.
I thought you want the ears cut off or something.
I have no objection to a person of colour being exposed to something cultural that may assist them in, you know, evolving.
Very humble and magnanimous of you, Richard.
Thank you.
Yes.
What are your thoughts? Come on, spit it out.
I find myself agreeing with you in some ways.
Oh.
I find myself agreeing with you in some ways. It's about time people woke up, Richard, to the reality that having a child or children doesn't equate happiness.
Uh-huh.
You know, unless you shoot a food, of course. I mean, let's face it anyway, Richard, most folks are going to try and have anal sex with their girlfriends or wives anyway when they get poured to the pussy, aren't they?
Given the chance.
So ladies, either let him in, insist on protection, or turn him gay.
Hmm.
And without wanting to blow my own trumpet, Richard, and I have tried.
Good Lord, I bet you've tried.
It is the likes of Nathaniel Barrett Moore that prove that evolution is happening on this planet. God is so gracious, Richard, that he gave us two holes for sexual pleasure.
Yes.
One for when population is on the decline.
Yes.
And one for when it's gotten out of hand.
I don't understand that.
Yes, you do.
No. Two holes for sexual pleasure.
Indeed.
This would be the fanny hole.
Vagina, yes.
Yes, if you insist on your scientific terms.
Are you the scientist?
I am the scientist. Would the other be the mouth?
The anus.
The anus?
The anus, indeed.
Now, I've been married for 30 years, Nathaniel, and whilst it's, you know, it's gone to the dogs now, at no point in that 30 years did I ever slip it up the back passage.
Well, that's a shame. It's a pity your inner scientist didn't emerge, you know. Experiment a little. Play out.
I did ask.
Did you?
I remember. I distinctly remember. It was February the 14th.
Yes.
1983, I think it was. Because, yeah, we'd been married for... Yes, 1983. And we were in a lovely hotel in Newquay, in Cornwall. A beautiful view of the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, spread out before us. With the four-poster bed, you know, with lovely kind of gossamer drapes surrounding it.
Yeah.
The candles, joss sticks. It was so romantic. And so I said to Yvonne, darling, we've been together for a couple of years now, and whilst I always enjoy you, would it be possible for me to plug you from the other end?
Yes.
She said no.
Well, what's your point? The point is that you tried.
Yep. And now you get confused and you get judgmental about the fact that I'm always furious.
Yes.
I think if on that occasion, if she had allowed me to indulge in some anal activity, I think I would have been a much happier man.
Well, quite possibly, but we can't base happiness on such flimsy expectations, really. People are going to say no from time to time, shit.
I wasted £1.75 on a tube of KY jelly. I was furious!
I bet you've still kept it though, haven't you?
I've still got it.
I bet you can.
I've still got it.
There's still time yet.
I use it from time to time.
On what?
On myself.
In what capacity?
I kind of get a little pea-sized globule,
yes,
from the cap, and I smear it on myself.
Where do you smear it?
On myself.
Which part of yourself?
On my on my genitals.
Do you really?
Yes.
Does it feel nice?
It feels absolutely delightful.
It does, doesn't it?
It feels absolutely delightful.
Once again, we meet minds.
The only
you can't put jelly down your shaft, you can't beat it.
I don't put it down my shaft. No, it doesn't go down the Jap side.
No, you're obsessed with stuffing things down your reeters. You're trying to throw this one at me a few weeks ago. The shaft is the outside, Richard.
Oh.
For the scientist.
Okay. The only thing that I found to be even close to the real sensation, bit of KY on the old fella.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
A beef and tomato pot noodle.
Right.
Tepid.
Okay.
Plunge away.
Well, I can't really make that comparison because I've never indulged in that activity.
Give it a try, Nathaniel.
It'd be interesting, yeah. As a
right. Experiment. Tell us next week how you find it.
All right, yes. That's my project for the week. To copulate with a pot noodle.
That's it.
Very well. It'll be interesting to see how it compares to the anal pleasures.
It's so... It doesn't compare to the anal. It compares to the vaginal. I have no frame of reference for the anal.
Right, okay. Well, maybe I can pass on my wisdom on that field.
It's so authentic, Nathaniel. You can actually bring yourself to climax.
Really?
Yes.
Even when you bring the old man out and there's a piece of soil hanging off your bill end.
Whatever you do, do it standing up. Don't try and do it lying down.
Right.
You'll just make a mess.
So
do it standing up.
Don't the noodles kind of tick down your balls and things? No?
No. It's all about technique. It's all about the technique.
Right.
Right, here we go. Let me talk you through it.
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
Do you mind?
No, not at all.
I think this is important. I've never talked about this before. It's good to talk about it in private.
Yeah.
7 billion
people on the planet and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, fuck them. we half fill the pot.
Half
with boiling water.
Yeah.
Boiling water.
Boiling, yeah.
Yeah. Mix it all up.
Right.
And then you've got to leave it for 10 minutes.
Okay.
You know, you've got the level where it says map fill to this point.
Yes.
Yeah. Halfway.
Right, okay.
Don't do it to that's the trick. Don't do it to the top.
Leave the top crispy.
Mix it all up.
Right.
So the noodles go lovely and soft. But there's not enough fluid for them to become sloppy.
Right.
Then put the pot on its side on a desk. At about groin height.
Yes.
You with me?
I'm with you so far.
And then prop it against something solid enough that it won't move.
Okay.
And then you can just grind away.
Right.
At groin height, you just thrust away. Just keep sticking your cock into it and into it. Just jab your cock into it. You can think about whoever you want.
Yeah?
Think about Freddie Mercury if you want.
Right.
Jab your fucking cock into it. It's fantastic.
Well, you're certainly saying it because of your passion, Richard. It's something that you get something from. Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'll give it a go. Shall I?
Give it a go.
I'll give it a go. And I'll
let us know.
Week, the old pot noodle shagging experience.
Should we get back on topic?
If you want to.
Nathaniel, the global pandemic is coming. That'll sort out the problem once and for all.
Yes.
My advice to you, make sure that you renew your Booper membership. You don't want to get left behind.
Well, what's one person in the context of 7 billion, Richard?
But we don't want to lose you.
Yes, you do.
We don't want to lose you.
You weren't displaying such compassion a few minutes ago.
I'm a complicated person, Nathaniel.
But you got that right.
I fluctuate.
You do, don't you?
But overall, I think you're a jolly decent chap.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And
it's okay.
I've got nothing else to say on that, as Richard.
What qualifications have you got, Nathaniel?
You mean academic qualifications?
Yeah, what's your highest qualification academically?
I have A-levels.
Uh-huh.
I have,
Is that your highest, A-level?
Yes, yeah, as you say, you know, I'm not into kind of academia particularly.
I'm not here to judge, Nathaniel, I'm simply asking a question.
I'm just explaining what where I'm coming from with this.
Okay.
I have an A-level in physics.
Uh-huh.
And what was the other subject? I live in philosophy, actually.
Physics and philosophy?
Indeed.
So you're a scientist and a thinker?
Well, not as great a scientist as you, obviously. You know, it's kind of use it or lose it. And I haven't delved into the physics mound for a while.
I think, Nathaniel, that I'm genuinely blessed to be able to work with you each week.
Well, thank you very much.
That's okay.
It's just really nice of you to say so.
Have you got any plans for the next few days?
I've got to go to the supermarket, buy a few pot noodles.
Beef and tomato. No, see, the thing is, something to do with the texture.
Right.
Other flavours don't work quite so well.
Being the scientist and all, surely you want to kind of get the sample of all the different options.
I've tried every single one.
I'd imagine the spicy curry one would be a different experience.
Oh, that brought a tear to the eye. The Bombay bad boy.
Absolutely.
That brought a tear to the eye. Should we call it a day on this episode?
I think we should. I think we're done.
Nathaniel, yet again, it's been quite simply a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Richard, and thank you for displaying such patience with me.
I hope you have a wonderful week, and I hope that, you know, we get to see a really, really good film that we can talk about next week.
Yes, that would be absolutely delightful. Let's hope that eventuality happens.
I love you, Nathaniel. Goodbye.
I tolerate you. Goodbye.